Good morning. This is Valentine's Day, February 14th, and if you're joining us on Gavel to Gavel, we are in room 124 in the State Capitol. It is the Community and Regional Affairs meeting, and it is just a little bit after 8. With me this morning is Representative Dahlstrom, Representative Olson, Representative Newman, Co-Chair Gabriel Adu, and myself, Representative Fairclough. We have two bills before us this morning, 282, HB 282, and HB 344. Just for technical reasons, if you do have a cell phone or a BlackBerry, we understand that you like to stay in communications, but it does interfere with people listening at home and with those that are trying to record what we're doing here today. So I would ask you to turn those off in addition to silencing them. We still get the static if you have them on. With that, we will first take up HB 282. For the record, we're joined by Representative Cisna, and is the sponsor for 282 in the room. Representative Dugan. Please. Entree.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Members of the committee, for the record, I'm Mike Dugan. I represent House District 25 in Anchorage. House Bill 282 would require people who are members of boards and commissions to resign their membership before they file for office, if that's their plan. And it would further disallow someone who had run for office from becoming a member of a board or commission for a calendar year. Currently, under the law, there are a number of people who are essentially have to resign their positions if they want to run. Those include state employees and, for reasons that I'm unable to explain to you, members of boards and commissions who get anything above per diem for attending, you know, people, basically they get a salary for being on the board of the commission, they've got to resign. The numbers, let's see, the numbers on that are, I think this is in your packet, but there are roughly 20 boards and commissions that are affected by that. 22. There are about 120 boards and commissions in the state government, so the rest of them are currently able to stay on the board or commission and run for elective office. If the change would affect about 984 members of boards and commissions, if this were added to the, there's about 176 people who are affected now. This is the reason I'm doing, I thought to bring this bill as it was brought to my attention. In the last election, that a gentleman who was a member of one of the professional boards ran for the state house and collected about $20,000 from people who were members of the profession that the board oversaw. That seems to me to be problematic, both in terms of, although I can't say that anything bad actually happened there, it strikes me that just the appearance of that is problematic, and that it's better for the state and certainly better for Alaskans' trust in the system if people who are going to run for office don't hold those positions as they do so. With that, there's just one more item. We have staff here, and my aide caught the fact that somehow the original language of the original bill would have taken legislators who were members of boards and commissions by virtue of being legislators and forced them to resign. That sort of wasn't my intent. You know, there's a number of those things where you're just on it because you're in the legislature. So we had an amendment drafted that would take care of that, which the committee could look at when the appropriate time comes. And with that, I'll do my best to answer questions. Thank you.
Do you have a copy of the amendment so that we can pass that? We've already got it here. It's behind the legal services then. Mm-hmm. Are there questions from committee members to the sponsor? Representative Olson, then Representative
Possibly Wood. A comment, Board. question. I believe we saw an example of this as recently as Tuesday in front of this committee.
Thank you. Representative Ledoux.
Well, how is it different if people who are on boards and commissions raise money than if legislators raise money? We don't have a blanket prohibition on legislators raising.
If I might, Madam Chairman, we do have prohibitions on legislators raising money in the sense that we have clear rules about when and where legislators can raise money as they're sitting. The problem is that the boards and commissions don't operate on the same kind of calendar that we do. So there aren't essentially fallow periods, if you understand what I mean, that, you know, they don't, you know, have session and then, you know, go into an interim. It's not clear, because there are so many of them and there are so many different sets of rules, exactly how you would construct a system that, like the one that affects legislators. I gave that a little bit of thought and just gave up, to be honest with you, because I couldn't figure out how to do it.
Follow up, Representative Ledoux.
If you're not going to allow somebody who's sitting on a municipal planning board to run for election without giving up his job on the municipal planning board, would you want to extend that to all municipal officials, for example?
Representative Dugan?
My concern here is strictly with a system that I see as a hole in the law affecting state boards and commissions. I'm actually an advocate of us not trying to tell municipalities what they should do. I think that the rules for this vary from municipality to municipality, and some may already have this provision. I'm just not sure. You know, as far in my community, the Anchorage Assembly is responsible for this, and I'm certainly not going to try and preempt the Assembly, which in some ways I have to confess handle these things better than, at least in my view, than we do. But still, it's not sort of my point to try to tell every city and borough in the state of Alaska how to deal with these issues.
And for clarification, the title, at least, is very explicit that this is to state boards,
right,
commissions, and authorities. So we wouldn't reach into municipalities, though we do set a higher standard that municipalities could, on a local basis, step to. Representative Cisna.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I was trying to think of a situation where this might occur, and It's a distant memory. It was a decade ago, but a person who, and I think it was before I was involved with it, but actually ran was running for office, and was on a board for the state, and there was an ethics violation because during the period of time when that person was already planning on running, he was using the per diem, et cetera, to get to places, would be in that place, and then would be fundraising and being enterprising, but not for the commission itself or the board itself. And that's a stretch, except it did happen. So I know it can happen, and we kind of don't like to think it would. We like to think of all our people being really dedicated. It's hard to know. That's why you have rules.
Thank you, Representative Cisna. We have been joined by Representative Salmon. Welcome, Woody.
Thank you.
Representative Newman.
Thank you, Ms. Chair. Representative Dugan, with this, there's the upcoming elections. So people who, I just want to make this clear, people who are on a boards or commission seated right now, if this bill passes, then would they have to resign their position to run for elective office?
The old effective date question.
I was heading for it. I can't remember.
I think The answer to that question is yes. That is that it's hard to tell. You know, the filing deadline and the usual effective date are basically simultaneous, but I believe the answer to that question is yes.
Representative Newman, follow up.
So what day would that be, the day that this, and you're, I just want to get that on the record, is when you filed this bill or when it gets signed by the governor?
It'll be
90 days.
I'm sorry?
Signed by the governor or the appropriate time of her not signing it.
Right. There's a period in which the governor doesn't have to sign the bill and it becomes law anyway. Yeah, right. 45 days. Yeah.
Thank you, Representative Newman. Thank you, Representative Dugan. The committee doesn't have any other questions on this. I don't know that if we have public testimony. Is there anyone in the audience who would like to testify on the issue before us? HB 282. Seeing none, is there anyone online that would like to testify today? I guess I should have said the public hearing is open to be clear for the record. Anyone willing to testify this morning? Seeing none, the public hearing is closed. Do I have a motion to bring this bill before us?
Madam Chair.
Representative Newman.
There is an amendment offered by the sponsor.
Could we get the bill before us and then we'll take up the issue of the amendment?
Okay.
Madam Chair. I'd like to move House Bill number 282, version C, with any attached fiscal notes.
Thank you. The bill's before us.
Object.
Thank you. Representative Newman.
Object for purpose of a specific amendment. That would be amendment number.
Representative Dugan, would you like to join us so that if we have discussion? No, I appreciate that as far as the public being allowed. The sponsor has offered for the committee's consideration amendment. Could you read it into the record, Representative Newman?
The amendment would be page 1, line 7, following year. Insert, unless holding a particular elective state or federal office is required by law or appointment. And that is beyond, that's on behalf of the sponsor.
Representative Dugan, would you like to speak to that amendment?
I know you have a little bit before. Thank you, Madam Chair. We discovered, and by we, I mean my staff member, Priya Keene, discovered that in drafting this bill, we had inadvertently applied it to legislators who were members of boards and commissions by virtue of their position as legislators. That wasn't our intent. My feeling here is that it's difficult to imagine a situation in which being a member of a board or commission enhances or detracts from a legislator's ability to run for re-election. And that being the case, and particularly since statute often requires legislative members of some of these boards and commissions, I didn't want to have this set up one of those situations in which one law says one thing and the other law says the other. And this amendment, I am told by the drafter, will solve that problem.
I have a question. Is any other committee members have questions first?
I can go. Are you?
Representative Dahlstrom.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just a question for the sponsor. I think the intent of this is great. I think I understand the intent. What's coming to mind, though, are just some different things that are unique to our state of Alaska. We're a small state. I know it's hard to get people to fill boards and commissions seats, just as it is hard to get people to run for our seats because of various reasons that we've discussed in other bills that we're considering. So I'm hesitating as I'm thinking through how possibly it could affect things. And what if someone was in a board and serving on a board or a commission and a seat came open in their district and the governor chose to appoint them? How would that be affected? Because they wouldn't have been out of their seat for a year.
Representative Dugan.
Through the chair. Representative Dahlstrom, it actually works the other way. You can't go on the commission for a year after you've run. It doesn't, being on a commission doesn't prohibit the governor from appointing you to a legislative seat. And since you haven't really filed for that office, this provision wouldn't affect that. You could, you know, I don't know about you, I'm pretty busy, I don't know why I'd want to try and do this, but you could, under that scenario, to the at least to the best of my understanding of this bill, you could be, you know, on the Human Rights Commission, get appointed to the legislature, and stay on the Human Rights Commission because, you know, it because you would never have gone through the process of running for office.
Follow up?
Representative Dahlstrom.
Okay, so for clarification then, Representative Dugan, if I'm serving on a board or commission now and I decide that I want to run for office, I can quit one day and then the next day file for office.
That's correct.
But after I leave elected office, I can't serve for a year.
That's correct.
On a board or commission, correct? Okay. Thank you.
Representative Ledoux.
I want to make sure I understand something correctly. The provision that prohibits somebody from being a member of a board or commission when they are running is section 2 on page 2. Is that correct?
That's correct. If I might, Madam Chair, currently the situation you have is there's a prohibition against, you know, essentially state employees running for office, and there are a number of exceptions to that prohibition. And what section 2 does is it removes the current exception for people who are members of boards and commissions in which you're only getting paid essentially per diem for attending meetings.
Representative Ledoux, follow up.
And I do see that in section 8 or paragraph 8, 28 to 31, that is removed. My question is somebody who serves on a board or a commission without pay, is that person an employee in the classified partially exempt or exempt service? I mean, is that legally, is there anybody that you've spoken with in legal who has determined that that person would even be considered an employee?
Representative Dugan.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Ledoux, if you're asking me why this is done this way in existing law, I can't answer that question. For some reason they put that exception in there. I'm not sure why it is, but when I went to the drafters and said, look, here's what I want to do, they came back to me and said, this is how you have to do it. You know, how it ended up that essentially unpaid members of boards and commissions were put in an exception, one of a series of exceptions for state employees, I just don't know.
Representative Ledoux, follow up.
And I suspect that it might have been put in just an excess of caution, because my suspicion is, I mean, I would kind of like to see what the definition of an employee in the classified partially exempt or exempt services, because I'm not so sure that simply by eliminating section 8 or paragraph 8 that you've necessarily accomplished what you're setting out to accomplish.
Thank you, Representative Ledoux. I have a couple questions.
Sure.
I serve, for the record, and was disclosed yesterday via fax from our ethical disclosures, on a national committee advisory board. It is not designated by law. It's National Sexual Violence Resource Center on a national level. So as I read this, I would be have to resign that position. I'm not. That, it's not required by law.
Yeah, that's certainly. I'm sorry.
No, please.
It's certainly not the intent here. The question really comes when you're talking about filing for state office and being on a state board or commission. It wasn't my intent to prevent, you know, and the exception for legislative members exists because of the nature of who legislators are and what they do. Wasn't my intent to force people to resign from federal commissions. If the Congress wants to do that, you know, that would seem to me to be their business. I don't think this law would prevail in a situation in which you were a member of a federal border commission.
I think we're going right back to where Representative Ledoux was asking before and rereading the title. So it would just be specific for service on state boards and commissions.
Right.
So my service on the Alaska Veterans Memorial Museum, or I know that there are others in this body that serve on other nonprofit boards in their local communities so that they can be tied to particular issues and be involved. And that's allowable. Representative Dugan?
It's my understanding that it's my intent and my understanding that it is, Madam Chair. There are, for instance, Alaskans who serve on a wide variety of federal boards and commissions, and I don't believe this law would apply to any of that service.
Representative Ledoux.
You know, I actually have got some real problems with this. In this state, it's so hard to find people for some of these boards and commissions. And I just think that it's going to make things even more difficult. I mean, I can understand where you're coming from if you're talking about something like, oh, let's say the State Board of Medical Examiners, the State Board of Optometrists, those sorts of boards which actually are governing a profession. But there are lots of other boards out there and commissions that aren't really governing professions. And really, money isn't involved necessarily in, I mean, people aren't looking to those boards as far as making an income is concerned. Like, let's say the domestic violence or the sexual assault board, or I don't know the exact name of it, but.
Well, if I might, Representative Ledoux, I was considering the task force that we formed, but that was in law. So I was thinking we were preempted there, and I know that there are other considerations as we're going forward to have different groups of people within our own body look at things, but those have been developed so far under a law, a bill that moves forward. Representative Ledoux?
Well, it's not really a question. I thought we were into comments, and I'm just saying that I feel kind of uncomfortable about. I think this may be overly broad. I mean, I see where you're coming from, but I'm thinking that it is an overly broad bill.
Thank you. Representative Sisna, did you have a question or a comment?
Oh, I don't know that I, well, it's just that the previous question to the last comment was that it does state very clearly here to a state board, commission, or authority, but then it's sought nomination or became a candidate for elective state or federal office, and I'm curious why the federal office.
Through the chair, Representative Sisna. Federal office, because there's essentially no difference in the behavior that you're trying to prevent. The argument for including federal office is, let me go back. There's no doubt that this is going to make it somewhat harder to get people on boards and commissions. People who are thinking about running for office will have to ask themselves if they're going to, you know, go on this board or commission and then have to resign in 3 months or, you know, whenever the filing deadline is. And that part of it's just a trade-off. The committee is either willing to make it or not. In terms of federal office, since the intent here, it's clearly the intent of the law under which this exception now exists, to keep people from campaigning for office on the state dime. I mean, that's essentially what we're trying to do here. And that would apply equally to campaigning for federal office as it would for state office, which is why federal office is included.
Representative Dugan, thank you for that response. On point that we do have an amendment before us versus the actual bill.
Sorry.
No, I let it go. It's my fault as chair. And so we have an amendment that has an objection to it. The amendment was, unless holding a particular elective state or federal office is required by law for appointment. Is the committee ready to vote just on the amendment, up or down? Madam Chair, could you, do you maintain your objection?
I offered the amendment.
You objected also.
I have no objection to the amendment. I support the amendment.
Is there an objection to the amendment? The amendment is incorporated into the document. We're going to take a brief at ease. On the record, we have the bill in front of us, and I would like to hear from committee members on their comfort level of either having questions answered by the sponsor, confirming intent of the definition on the employee, or moving it forward. I would guess that Representative Dugan would like it to come out of committee, but he's been before us. Representative Newman.
Madam Chair, I'm ready to move the bill if there's no objection to that.
Madam Chair, I'm comfortable with moving the bill, and I think that the sponsor has heard the concerns and that he will have that definition and other answers for the next committee when he would go before that committee.
Can we outline those for he and his staff? I believe that under Section 2, Line 7, that there is a question on the employee issue and that classification as far as and someone else might be able to better articulate that. Representative Dahlstrom, did you have other concerns that we had raised?
No. Those are...
I don't like your bill, but I'm not going to object to it.
Can Representative Dahlstrom?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would like to make the motion to move House Bill number 282 with Amendment number 1, and this is version C, and I don't see a physical note. Is that correct?
I believe there is a physical note.
There is.
Oh, with physical note and individual recommendations.
Is there any objections? Seeing none, that bill moves from committee.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee.
Happy Valentine's Day to one and all.
Yeah. Doesn't seem like it.
It's still early. Maybe by noon it will.
I don't know what it's supposed to feel like.
Exactly.
Been here too long on February 14th, Nancy.
I
might
not be here somewhere.
Your husband didn't come.
He'll be here
today.
Tomorrow.
Oh, yes. We are on the record, just so everyone knows. we probably need to pass the bill around so it could be signed to move. With that, the next item before the committee is HB 344. This is an act relating to distribution of the Alaska Administrative Code and Alaska Administrative Registry and providing for an effective date. Is there anyone here to speak to the bill? Good morning. Your name for the record.
I'm Jason Hooley. I represent the Office of Lieutenant Governor Sean Parnell. Thank you for hearing the bill on behalf of the Governor and Lieutenant Governor. And I'll be brief. As required by law, the Lieutenant Governor currently distributes paper copies of the Alaska Administrative Code and its quarterly supplements to all 158 local government units in Alaska. And especially in the last several years, we've received a lot of feedback from the local governments that they don't use these paper copies of the materials, they don't have office space to store them, they don't want to receive them. In many cases, they're transitioning to the electronic versions that are available for free on the internet. And this bill simply allows the local governments who don't want to receive them to opt out of that and later to opt back in if they desire to receive them again. And like I said, the internet access is not impacted by this bill, and the bill attempts to save some state money as well as respond to the desires of these local communities. And maybe I'll just mention the zero physical note. The Lieutenant Governor currently spends $22,000 a year on this portion of our contract with our publisher, and in the future, if we get municipalities to opt out of this as we expect, we will save some money there. That's all.
Thank you. Are there questions from committee members for the carrier? Representative Salmon.
This information is available online?
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Madam Chair.
Representative Cisna.
Thank you. I'm trying to make sure I understand. It is possible for, would it be possible for the local government to call you and ask for a copy if they wanted one in this? Does it eliminate that possibility completely? Because some communities might not have the capability of getting it online.
Through the chair, Representative Sisna, it will be entirely up to the local communities. We arrange the distribution through our contractor, so we don't physically send them out from the Lieutenant Governor's office. We arrange that through our publisher. We have in subsection B on page 2. We've just tried to give the Lieutenant Governor's office a little bit of time in budgeting. If there is a local government who has not been receiving it and they now want to receive it again, we're trying to give us a little bit of time to build that into our budget at some time in the future if they wish to resume receiving that.
So
I'm just trying to really understand. So this gives them the chance to opt out rather than opt in.
We, through the chair, Representative Sisna, we are proceeding with distributing the Alaska Administrative Code to all of them, and they are currently opted in. And we will continue to do that until we hear that they don't want it anymore. And in the future, they can opt back in if they change their mind again.
Okay. Yeah. Thank
Representative
you.
Ledoux.
So do I understand that you need this law because right now you're sending it out to everybody, and if somebody gives you a call or writes you an email and says, we don't want this stuff, that right now, if we don't pass this, you got to send them this big box of materials anyway?
Through the chair, Representative Ledoux, that's exactly what we're doing right now. And we've, in the recent past, we've had a couple refused deliveries, but we're just trying to clear it up so that there's no confusion, or it's completely up to the municipalities.
Jason, thank you for joining the committee today.
Thank you.
We do have, if committee members have questions, Jessica Schrader from the Department of Law. Did I say it wrong?
Schrader.
Thank you. And Stephen Weaver from the Office of the Governor is also with us this morning. So with that, I would like to open the public hearing. Is there anyone in Juneau, room 124, who'd like to testify this Valentine's Day morning on HB 344? Is there anyone joining us online who'd like to testify? Seeing and hearing none, the public hearing is closed. What's the wish of the committee? Representative Dahlstrom.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would wish to make the motion to move House Bill number 344, version A, with individual recommendation and zero fiscal note attached.
Is there any objections? Seeing none, that bill moves from committee. With that, Community and Regional Affairs, for the record, for those that you listening on gavel to gavel, will meet Tuesday at 7 a.m. The Speaker of the House has called a floor session for 9 o'clock, which would prevent ample time to talk about the Local Boundary Commission and acquire the information necessary to make a decision on moving another bill that's important to Alaskans out of committee. So 7 a.m. on Tuesday, that's next Tuesday, to discuss Local Boundary Commissions. We have made inquiries for someone to be able to be with us. We have not received confirmation. The Local Boundary Commission will be here, but we've also requested the Department of Law, someone from the Department of Education to speak to the educational issues that were brought before us, as well as someone to speak to the forestry receipts and the distribution of those. So I think we've covered the basis of what we heard on Tuesday of this past week on that issue. And that's regarding the annexation of the Ketchikan Borough, and Representative Thomas has filed a resolution for us not to approve that. So for those of you listening, that's what the issue is that's before us on Tuesday, 7 a.m. for the committee members. With that, we're adjourned.